Okay, hi everybody, and okay, but from what we said yesterday and this morning and now too, the point emerged in our discussion is that the tradition of Western thought in its universalizing tendency, including its very structures, has a clear tendency, the epistemological as well as social and political colonial oppression. Then the problem is whether it will be possible to decolonize it. I think this is a good question, but also a big one, a big question. Thus, I want to address this subject by asking in what extent the Western leftist thought, or more simply we can also say the Western critical thought, is permeated by such a tendency, and, of course, in which way it could be decolonized. In doing this, I will try to cast just the terms of a possible answer to this question by reading, as the title says, the Balibar's trajectory. I know that by doing this, I risk to propose another Eurocentric reflection. Why? Because Balibar is a French philosopher. He was expelled from the French Communist Party in 1981, and since such an expulsion, he took an interest in the subject of citizenship as well as a rethinking of Marxism. And in this phase that he himself called the post-Marxist, actually he didn't depart from the problems he posed in his Marxist phase, but he posed a new reflection on Marxist concept, a new reflection rooted in problems such as racism and nationalism. And these problems are, in his thought, are inside an autocritical stance of Western critical thought. That's why I say that I risk to propose another European self-reflection. But I defend this position. Why? Because such a reflection takes into account what Balibar calls the shift in the proletariat, posed by the modern proletarians that for Balibar are the immigrants, the migrants. Okay. Oh, if the migrants are modern proletarians, this means that the Western critical thought needs to be informed by their struggles. I think this operation is a way, or maybe also the only way we have for decolonizing the Western leftist thought. This is because if we limit to read the other, okay, we risk just to have an exotic approach to it. Conversely, changing perspective by such an operation of being informed by these struggles, this requires to say it with Mao Zedong, the one that divides into two, that is to say, an identity that passes through a process of becoming ambiguous, no? By creating what the French calls an écart, a gap inside itself, inside this thought, okay? Okay, I want to start by reading the article that earned for Balibar his expulsion from the French Communist Party, and that opened up his post-Marxist phase in which he thinks racism, nationalism connected to class. Okay, this article was published in April 1981 in Le Nouvel Observateur. The context in which it happened, it was the one of the election of the socialist François Mitterrand as a president of the French Republic. In the months before the election, the French Communist Party, with its candidate Georges Marchais, vote that the already president, the ex-president, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, will be reconfirmed. Then, the party, the French Communist Party, looked for anti-Giscard votes in the French workers' strata. And it is in such a context that happened two important events. Oh, the first one was in the town of Vitry-sur-Seine, where some Melian workers had been transferred from a right-wing municipality called Saint-Maur. Vitry's municipality was a communist one, but it didn't look favorably on such a relocation. And the mayor, Paul Mercier-Gas, pressed to remove them from the bank in which they had been settled. And he, with some members of the French Communist Party, he cleared out the immigrants by using a bulldozer. This operation, the bulldozer operation, which had place on the Christmas Eve of 1980, but exposed what was the real strategy, the political strategy of the French Communist Party. It was not interested to engage the right-wing municipality of Saint-Maur, but directly these Malians, who were 318. But this event wasn't isolated. A few weeks later, in Montigny-le-Cormeil, the mayor, here too a communist, Robert Hue, in order to fight against drug, publicly denounced some Moroccans, local Moroccans, as dealers. And to end all this political strategy, the Marchais discourse legitimated these actions by claiming bluntly that migrants are harmful to workers. This strategy adopted by the French Communist Party in 1981 was then clear, no? Seducing an area of voters, no? The French workers, about this hunt of migrants. However, this strategy didn't work because the use of right-wing practices didn't steal votes to Giscard and they didn't bring more votes to the French Communist Party. In fact, many of its own electors moved to the socialist candidate Mitterrand. But these facts gave witness of a change in the political composition of the left-wing electorate. And it is from these facts that Balibar, who was inscribed at the party at the time and since 1961, it is from these facts that Balibar moves his reflection. Balibar actually matches these facts with the ones of the Charonne metro station happening on February 1962. Oh, the context was another one, was the context of the war of Algeria. And the OAS was the secret armed organization, a right-wing French paramilitary organization. And the OAS refused the agreements of Algeria's independence from French colonial rule. And the French Communist Party, along with the CGT, which is the major trade union in France, the General Confederation of Labor. They organized a demonstration against OAS, but the demonstration on the orders of the prefect, Maurice Papon, was severely repressed. This repression remembered what happened some months before, on the October 1961, when Algerians were dumped in the Seine River. This time, 8 persons were dead, and this time there were French Communist Parties and CGT's militants. Then, Balibar states the contrast between the anti-colonialist French Communist Party of 1962 and this anti-immigrants French Communist Party of 1981. And he wonders how the party arrived in this 20 years to this point. But actually, says Balibar, the French Communist Party has always flied the flag for anti-colonialism, but in the form of an equivocation. The equivocation of claiming the anti-colonialism in order to oppose it to the Socialist Party, which in the 50s did not hesitate to send a military contingent to Algeria. Then such an anti-colonialism depended just on a political positioning. So it was never enough to delete the inadequate politics adopted by the party about this subject. The French Communist Party, in fact, didn't identify itself to the Algerian cause. It didn't call into question the French imperialism. It just limited to oppose to a war that most French people no longer wanted to continue. Then, this failure to identify to the Algerian cause was actually a failure to the overcoming of nationalism. Actually, the French Communist Party today, too, is nationalist. But for a French Communist Party tied to the Soviet axis at the time, it stands at likely a reason. Unlike the contemporary fight of Viet Cong, Algerians' aim was not the one of creating a communist society. Nevertheless, already then, there were in France 500,000 Algerian works. Thus, Balibar wonders, I quote him, it's a very good question for us, for a critical thought. Who can say how this unity, the unity between French workers and immigrant workers, would have changed the history of class struggles in France itself at the moment when the major shift in the proletariat took place? Oh, by this question, actually, starts the post-Marxist phase of Balibar, a phase in which he informs Marxism by new topics tied to this shift in the proletariat as the race and the nation. But these two subjects, the race and the nation, are the ones that Balibar carries out particularly in 1988 in a book dialogue with Immanuel Wallerstein. Here, Balibar claims that the nation constitutes a foundation of politics as well as class struggles. Then politics will be crossed by the idea of nation as well as the idea of social conflict. Between the two, there is a reciprocity. Nationalist ideas are constantly picked up, reused, and reinvented by economic interest. In turn, this interest in their expression of dominant and dominated classes, when they arrive to the political stage, they present themselves in ideological way. And between ideological forms, nations is one of the most important. Then, you know, the discourse made now by Balibar doesn't leave Marxism, because he doesn't give up the relevance of social conflict, but he proposes actually a new reading of a concept, a specific concept on which he worked when he was a student of Louis Althusser. This concept is the one of overdetermination, and I think that Balibar in this phase proposed an overdetermined concept of citizenship. But what is overdetermination? Okay. Very briefly, in an article titled Contradiction and Overdetermination, Althusser remarks that the typical structure-superstructure relationship is not to be intended according the classical dependence of the latter to the former, or just the contradiction between capital and labor. Okay, this is because, in his opinion, who will have a simple contradiction, like in Hegel, But by following Mao's essay on contradiction, Althusser's operation consists in multiplying contradictions and in making more complex the contradiction. For him, there is not only a principle, no, a structural contradiction, no, the capital labor one, which determines the other superstructural contradictions, for example, the ideology, politics, and so on. Rather, even if these contradictions have a relationship with the principal one, they relate to each other in a relatively autonomous way. Then they relate to each other without being determined by an exclusive relationship with the economical contradiction. Then there is a multiplicity of determinations, so that the principal contradiction, the economical one, is overdetermined. That is to say, it is determining but also determined in one and the same movement. Oh, why I speak about this concept? Because Althusser's reflections opens to a reading of Marx which focuses not only to the economical sphere but also to social formations as well as to the role of state and ideology. And the subject of race and nation that Balibar explores in the 80s can be considered as a further reflection of the perspective opened up by Althusser in his reading of Marx. But for understanding better this problem and why Balibar proposes an overdetermined concept of citizenship, we need to understand this concept of nation form. Okay, Balibar says that actually there is a sort of in the constitution of nation states, no, there is a sort of transformation of social formations into national formations. Okay, how it happened? Actually, if the idea of nation involves a social formation, it needs an imaginary, and such an imaginary is the people. The people. For this reason, according to Balibar, we must begin by the formation of such an imaginary. This imaginary, it is made, it is not done. No modern nation possesses a given ethnic basis, says Balibar. The people is not natural, it is a product. And as such, it appears as community of the nation and its legitimizing principle. And in many cases, we have then a fictive ethnicity. What is this fictive ethnicity? It is an excess or a supplement to the nationalism. Okay, it's more national than nationalism itself. Why modern nation and Western nation need this fictive ethnicity? The problem is that this fictive ethnicity, this excess or supplement, is invoked in the conjunctures of social conflict in order to reaffirm the persistence of hierarchies and divisions. Then this means that behind the formation of a people, founding a nation, there are relations of power. These relations of power constitute themselves in superstructures like nation and race. And these superstructures, in turn, determine the socializing process of individuals. But as these latter are constituted by relations of power, they establish borders. Thus, we are in front of a dynamic which constitutes the people as a nation in the same time in which it socializes individuals as citizens. But such a dynamic of formation of a nation develops by separating a people from another, through the race, and by hierarchizing the individuals through the class. Now I think it's evident the no, overdetermined relationship between class, race, and nation. Okay? But the problem now becomes the one of understanding who, between individuals, has the right to enter, to be part of such a people. Then who and to what extent has the right to be citizen of a nation? And we arrive then to the problem of the right. Okay, I want to say that when we speak about rights in Balibar, we deal with the political practice. Then it is not the right understood in a positivistic or juridical sense, that is to say a right posed by the law and applied by and in the state. Okay, the right here is an object of a political action. Balibar actually obtains this conception by considering the politics of human rights by Claude Lefort, as well as the right to have rights by Hannah Arendt. But we have not the time here for speaking about this relationship of Balibar with these two authors, but I think it is more useful the argument moved by Balibar in a short article titled "What We Owe to the Sans-Papiers," the people who have no documents, the sans-papiers. This article is about a fact of chronicle, a movement of sans-papiers, largely composed by Senegalese and Malians, occupied in 1996 the Saint Bernard Church in Paris. Some of them also went on hunger strike as a way of getting the documents useful to their legal residency in France. The occupation didn't reach completely the objective because the majority of these sans-papiers were repatriated. However, it had a strong communicative effect. Those Balibar writes, I quote him, but, "We owe them for having broken through the communication barriers, for being seen and heard for what they are, not specters of delinquency and invasion, but workers and families, from here and there at the same time, with their particularism and the universality of their condition as modern proletarians." You know, modern proletarians. Then he calls them modern proletarians. Then, you know, now it is back, the concept of shift in the proletariat, about which Balibar told in the article of 1981, from which we started. But along with this, it is observed now that these modern proletarians are suffering of something of very particular, suffering of an institutional racism. This is because it is the state to make them illegals. And in contrast to such a racism, we owe them, is the critical theory, we owe them something. We owe them, says Balibar, to remember us, because they created the space which forms it, that the citizenship is not an institution nor a status, but a collective practice. We owe them to have given to the political activity the transnational dimension that we so desperately need, I quote him, to open prospects for social transformation and civility in the era of globalization. Oh, the request by the Saint-Papiers has for Balibar a specific name, droit de cité, that we can translate with citizen's right. Such a right is at the heart of citizenship. In fact, writes the author in another book, "These rights," I quote him, "are not primarily granted or conceded from above, but are, in an essential respect, constructed from below." Then, by trying to democratize the borders of the state, this droit de cité, citizens' right, claimed by immigrants, is independent from a nation, or rather, it clashes with the nation. And this right reveals the social and conflictual consistency of citizenship. Oh, I go to conclude. Actually, the concept of citizenship proposed by Balibar takes back some important acquisitions of Western thought. In fact, it is based on two Western principles. The first one is the principle of equal liberty at an historical political level. This principle is derived from a reading of the Declaration of the Rights of Men and Citizens written during the French Revolution. And the second one is the logic of transindividuality on an anthropological level. This concept comes from a reading of Spinoza by a concept coined by Gilbert Simondon. Then, you know, these two concepts and all the Balibar's thinking belongs to the Western tradition. But, as I said, he offers an overdetermined concept of citizenship, because it is a citizenship posed in relations of reciprocity between class and nation, between insurrection and the constitution. In fact, he thinks it as an affirmation in the order of the inequality and non-freedom of the Western modern principle of equal liberty. Then the French authors, you know, figures out in it a dynamical process becoming subject of the citizen, in which the individual is interrelated to the collectivity under a trans-individual relationship. But in such a concept, a relevant place is given to the struggles from which a concept created, by a critical thought should be informed. Here we have then a Western critical theory which is informed by the Saint-Papier struggles. And this is the reason why I take Balibar's trajectory as an example of decolonization of Western critical thought. For concluding, I want just to point out that the meaning of this trajectory should not be seen just in the theoretical interpretative proposition. Balibar develops thought which is strictly tied to the conjunctures in which he lived and he lives. He is our contemporary. And this is the reason he writes, I quote him, "Not only do philosophers always write within a conjuncture, but conversely, within the conjuncture they write. This means that not only philosophers are independent from a specific historical, political, and theoretical conjuncture, but they have a role of intervention in this very conjuncture. It is inside the conjuncture in which the shift in the proletariat happens that Balibar develops this trajectory, which poses to himself the role of reflecting on the conditions of practicability and thinkability of an emancipation action. All his post-Marxist reflection is to be seen then as an intervention for the critical thought, an intervention which takes note of a crisis of Marxism and that reformulates it by informing the Marxism by the new subject who deal with injustices, the immigrants. Thank you.